More than 200 active geysers, not geysers, but geysers in Yellowstone National Park make it the greatest geyser region in all the world. These volcanic spouts of hot water vary from tiny little fountains that spew water 4 to 5 feet in the air to huge spouts that blast jets of water as high as 200 feet and will blow from 2 to 4 hours. The famous Giantess geyser has been known to shoot water and steam for over 36 hours straight. But no doubt the best known geyser in all of the park, and in fact in all of the world, is not the largest, nor is it the most spectacular, but it is the most predictable geyser in the world, and for that reason we call it Old Faithful. Because of its regularity and its consistency, Old Faithful blasts water and steam 20 times a day, and sometimes its eruptions can be predicted to within a few seconds. Since its discovery and naming in 1870, some several hundred thousand of its eruptions have been recorded and documented. The title of our lesson this morning is Faithfulness. Obviously, we're not all that concerned for a hot water spout in one of our national parks, but we do need to be concerned that we have that element, faithfulness, properly installed in our lives as God's children. We live in a changing world. As I made reference to in my opening remarks a few minutes ago, there are a lot of things that have changed around here. It's interesting how change many times is incremental and in that sense is largely unnoticed. The 50-acre hayfield that surrounds my house is a good illustration of that. That old hay will get up to be 3-4 feet tall, and you know, it just seems like it's always been there. And then one day they'll come in and cut it down and bale it up and haul those bales off, and you can see from one end of the countryside to the other, and you think, my, how things have changed. Well, it wasn't really that long since it was clear and open the last time. You may ride by this church building on the road out there, and it may look to you like it's been here forever. And so far as most of you are concerned, you probably don't remember anything else but the Johnson family, I'm sure, and Doug in particular remembers chasing after cows a lot of times on this very ground. Times change. Time brings change. And one of the things that I have noticed that we are tempted by that change with is to not to be as concerned about some things as maybe we used to be, because as we say, times are changing. This morning, as we study the subject of faithfulness, I want us to ask a couple of questions and answer them from the Scriptures. I want us to find out what faithfulness is, and I want us to see how we can make sure that it is a part of our daily lives, no matter what happens around us, no matter what changes, no matter what is different tomorrow than today, and everybody knows that there will be some things tomorrow that we'll be dealing with that we haven't had to deal with before. That is the nature of life on this earth. But faithfulness must be steady. Now, before we get into our main discussion of that subject, there is one thing that I want us to get a really good understanding of, this one underlying fact that I believe is maybe the most important fact of the whole consideration, at least for our time this morning, and that is the fact that faithfulness is not perfection. Faithfulness is not perfection. When we start talking about the necessity of God's children to be faithful, there are always going to be those who will quickly say things, well, you know, I'm only human, or I'm sorry, but don't expect me to be perfect. Relax. Nobody does. God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but He expects us to do our very best. And our faithfulness and our discussion of faithfulness here this morning will be bracketed within that limitation. God expects us not to be perfect, but to do our very best. So let's look at a couple of questions about the subject of faithfulness. Let's start with this very basic one. What is faithfulness? Well, the word faithfulness describes the quality of reliability and trustworthiness. We speak of someone as being faithful in a lot of different aspects, a lot of different ways, but generally we understand that that's the kind of person that you can depend on. That's the kind of person you may be able to predict what he or she will say in a given situation, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people seem to think that the matter of predictableness might be a bad thing, but I don't think it is. Especially as we concern ourselves with the need to be faithful and faithful to God, we need to be known for our faithfulness to God's will. Nick read that passage to us a few minutes ago from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 in particular says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. We've always understood that little short list of things there in Galatians chapter 5 as to be one of the great go-to passages if you want to see just a little short, clear, concise description of the traits of God's people. You ought to be able to find those things in the lives of every child of God. Faithfulness is a part of what God helps us to develop as we study and learn and obey His Word. It's interesting that Jesus made reference to faithfulness in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, where He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You tithe mint and dill and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness." It's one of the weightier matters. Of course, Jesus was talking to people who were responsible for obeying the old law, the Mosaic covenant, the Old Testament law. And Jesus said, even that, faithfulness is one of the weightier matters. And in fact, that lets us know that God has always expected faithfulness out of those who serve Him. Then we read, of course, that verse in Matthew 25, and it's no wonder that Jesus proclaimed that 5-talent man and the 2-talent man to be good and faithful servants. The dictionary would define faithfulness as to follow through with a commitment regardless of the difficulty. That's a good definition. I want to give you one that's a little bit easier to remember. Faithfulness is love hanging on. Love hanging on. You know, that would particularly be easy to understand in the realm of marriage and family. Most of us appreciate our families to the extent that we'd be there to be counted on no matter what happened when it comes to any matter for the sake of our families. It's because we love them. So you see, love has to be understood as being a part of the motivation of faithfulness. Let's ask another question. Why would we say that faithfulness is so important? And where do we see the importance of faithfulness illustrated? As I just referred to, faithfulness in marriage is something that's very important. It's a fundamental issue of marriage. God calls marriage a covenant. A covenant is a binding agreement which has obligations for all of the parties who enter into that covenant. And I'm sad to say that the world treats marriage very lightly, but God sees it as a covenant of faithfulness. Faithfulness is also, well, not only is faithfulness important in marriage, faithfulness is also important in the matter of evangelism. When we read what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things that you have learned from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Not only is faithfulness a necessity for us as we teach, those that we teach will need to be faithful to teach others. And so we call that the chain of evangelism that we dare not break. Faithfulness is important in the matter of stewardship. I saw that. When a preacher says the word stewardship, automatically everybody reaches back and grabs their wallet, don't they? Well, you know, there's a whole lot more to stewardship than just that money that we put into the collection plate on Sundays. Stewardship describes what we should have and model pertaining to a lot of things in addition to our money. A steward is someone who is put in charge of that which belongs to another. It is built of necessity on the concept of faithfulness, faithfulness with the things which one has been entrusted with. We're stewards of our jobs. We're stewards of our money. We're stewards of our abilities and our talents. We're stewards of our children. We are stewards of every physical blessing that God blesses us with. Because all of those things are God's and He has put us in charge of them. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2, moreover it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But of primary concern to us here this morning is the fact that faithfulness is absolutely unreplaceable in the matter of serving God. Meeting steadfastly and regularly with the Lord in prayer is an issue of faithfulness. Spending time on a regular basis in studying God's Word so that we learn more of it and are better able to be guided by it is a matter of faithfulness. Regular and consistent participation in the Lord's Supper is an issue of faithfulness. Conscientious obedience to the principles of the law of Christ is an issue of faithfulness. When someone asks us a question, maybe about some other person in the church family, they might say, is he faithful or is she faithful? You know, sometimes we act like we don't really know exactly what that means. But the fact is, I think we do know what that means. We'd know what it meant if someone asked you about a particular husband. Is he a faithful husband? Is he a faithful father? Are we faithful in our service to God? Last question. How can we develop greater faithfulness? Well, let me suggest that we first ought to start with the small things. You know, sometimes we have this tendency to want to kill the giant first, even before we learn how to use the slingshot. It's important that we start with the small things and let what we learn and the application of God's will then help us to grow. Jesus said to the good and faithful servants in the parable that we read about in Matthew chapter 25, "You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Matthew 25, verse 21. Little things are very important. And it's usually pretty true that if we don't get the little things right, we won't do very well with the big things. Little things. You know, we talk about those all the time. We may think or say about something, "Oh, that's just one of the little things." Some folks don't try very hard to get to Sunday school class because they say, "Well, that's just a little thing." We need to be meticulous in all of our dealings. When the store clerk gives you back too much change, it probably won't break the store for you just to put it in your pocket and walk on out. After all, you had to work really hard to find that thing that you needed, and it looks like maybe it's been opened and put back together. Somebody's probably bought it and returned it. And after all, you know, it was back there on the back part of the shelf, and they probably didn't even count it in inventory the last time they went. Have you ever stopped to think about all of the justifications we offer sometimes in a situation like that? You know, it may be that it wasn't counted in inventory, and it may be that it might even be damaged. But for you to keep that money sure messes up your faithfulness, doesn't it? Sure puts that track record on the rocks. Concentrate on being faithful even in those things where no one is looking. Those things where nobody would ever know the difference. Nobody would ever find out, because I think we all know that we can rest assured that the one who really matters does know. We need to make sure that even in difficult situations, we decide ahead of time that we're going to be faithful. You might call that premeditated faithfulness, wouldn't you? It's kind of like the situation with Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where even though he was no doubt sorely tempted to eat those things placed before him by the king's servants because he was a special captive in Babylon, set aside to be brought up and trained for a certain task under the service of the king, a young Hebrew boy who'd been taken as a slave from his home country and taken to this foreign land, and now they've put food before him that he knows is unlawful for him as a Hebrew to eat. It says there in verse 8 that Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine that he was drinking. Seems to be the indication that Daniel had kind of thought this thing through ahead of time, and this wasn't something that he decided just on the spur of the moment. And that fact is reflected again when the Bible says that even after praying to anybody but the king had been outlawed, Daniel went to his room and opened his windows toward Jerusalem as he had done. In other words, as was his practice. And he prayed to God. Make up your mind that when the difficult situations come along, you're going to be faithful and stay with it. Oh, one final thing. Be careful what you promise. You know, you can take that just as far as you'd like. And I think it'd probably be good for us to take it a little further than some of us probably do. You ever had somebody to say, well, you know, let's meet at such and such place at such and such a time. If you're a professional, if you're in business and you're accustomed to keeping appointments and things like that, you know that that's a normal thing. And if you say, I'll meet you there at 9 o'clock, I'll be there at 9 o'clock. But some people kind of say, well, you know, I told him I'd be there at 9 o'clock, but he'll know something's come up. I'm not going to be there. You know, that's a reflection on you as a Christian, like it or not. Trust me on this. You get in that rut and do that a few times, and what are they going to say about you? Well, he said he'd be here at 9, but you know, sometimes he never shows up for appointments. Be careful what you promise. That's just a little thing, and even a crude way of illustrating that little thing, but remember point number one, the little things, the small things, really matter. Our lives, as I said at the beginning, are filled with change. But remember, there is one thing for sure that never ever changes, and that is the fact that God is faithful. He is faithful to His Word, to His promises, to His will. To us, in every conceivable way, God is faithful. He is unchanging. He is ultimately dependable. In fact, God said of Himself in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, "For I, the Lord, do not change." Our lives are filled with change. It's usually incremental, gradual, but definite. We get older. We move. We raise children. They leave home. We retire. Well, I probably never will, but some of you will. There are changes that we accept as the normal course of life. Some things change because they're supposed to. Some things never change. God is in that category. Truth is constant. God's desire for all men is consistent. And Peter expresses it in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We sang that song a few minutes ago. Great is thy faithfulness. And then there are some things that absolutely must change. If you're not a child of God right now, that's one of those things that absolutely needs to change. If you're outside of Christ, Why not obey the gospel as the New Testament teaches? Become a Christian in the way that the people in the book of Acts, in the early church, became Christians. Believing in Jesus as God's Son, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Him, to be buried with Him in baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. If perhaps you've done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, the only way that you can hold to God's unchanging hand is by living faithfully to Him. If you've wandered away from Christ, why not come back and be restored? If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we sing this song to encourage you and invite you to respond as we stand.